Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about the border. And our story comes from Heather Hamilton of the Washington Examiner and is entitled, Abbott Doubles Down on Texas Border Barrier. We doubled the amount of razor wire. Governor Greg Abbott, Republican of Texas, has answered President Joe Biden's attempt to take down razor wire placed by Texas to deter immigrants illegally crossing the border. Abbott said the razor wire Texas placed along the southern border denies access to the state of Texas from the river, from the border. The governor said that Biden ordered Border Patrol agents to cut and pull the wire, allowing immigrants through. So, what did we do? Abbott said to Hannity, we went back with the Texas National Guard and we doubled the amount of razor wire on that border to make sure we keep those people from entering the United States illegally. When asked about Democratic politicians who have touted their desire to care for all immigrants, he replied, so we made it happen, referencing several busloads of immigrants sent to cities including New York City, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. They promoted sanctuary city policies. They were saying they wanted to take care of any immigrant who comes across the border. So we made it happen in New York, Abbott said. To be honest, they have just a trickle of what Texas has to deal with every day. And if they get $12 billion, Texas should get $120 billion. We're the ones who have to deal with this every single day, the governor continued. And I got to tell you, we have a president who is an obstructionist to Texas, who is interfering with my efforts to secure the actual border. I've never seen a president flout the laws of the United States as much as Joe Biden, and I've never seen anyone like that obstructive governor who is actually trying to limit illegal immigration into our country. Abbott noted that the barrier has stopped tens of thousands of illegal crossings. The Republican governor has also placed a floating buoy barrier in the Rio Grande, a preventative measure that has been challenged in court. An appeals court, however, recently allowed Texas to continue utilizing the buoy barriers, as well as placing the coils of razor wire along the river. Okay, so if you're new to this story, then there's probably some fill-in that's necessary. Texas put Operation Lone Star into effect back in March of 2021. Its purpose is to utilize Texas guardsmen and police to arrest illegal immigrants and repel border crossers before they cross the border. Along with that, OLS is responsible for busing migrants to the sanctuary city of their choice, which we'll talk about momentarily. Part of OLS was putting razor wire barriers on and near the river. The Biden administration allegedly instructed Border Patrol to cut holes in the wires, and there is video evidence of patrol cutting the fence from back in July. Lately, the Biden administration sued Texas to force them to remove the floating barrier in the Rio Grande because the state of Texas did not get the proper permits from the Army Corps of Engineers to obstruct a navigable waterway. A federal judge ordered Texas to remove the barriers, but an appeals court has allowed Texas to keep up the barriers in a temporary stay, and this case likely will go up to higher courts. The reality is, Texas probably did violate the Rivers and Harbors Appropriation Act of 1899. However, as Abbott and others argue, while the Constitution does reserve the authority to protect and govern borders to the federal government, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 states, no state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit delay. Abbott claims that they are being invaded, and it's hard not to agree when you look at all the sheer unfathomable volumes of people illegally crossing the border who are felons, human traffickers, drug smugglers, mafioso, and by the way, they are all criminals as they are all engaged in a crime. Texas deals with almost 2 million illegal immigrants in their state. In New York, they are unable to handle 110,000 asylum seekers. Texas has hundreds and thousands per day crossing the border. And what happened in New York? Well, Mayor Adams and Governor Hochul now want to make a city not be a sanctuary city. Now, Hochul is a liar, and she's saying that the right to a bed law was about homeless men and families in distress. She's pretending that the city hasn't been virtue signaling for literally decades. And when I say decades, I mean since I was in kindergarten, okay? Ed Koch, the mayor of New York, put these laws into effect, the sanctuary city law, in 1989. So no, New York does not get a free pass on this. New York is not more sinned against than sinning. New York has aided and abetted illegal immigration. Its congressmen and senators have voted to keep the illegals coming for decades, and now the chickens are coming home to roost. They are now getting a taste of their own medicine, and they have decided that they don't like it. And New Yorkers in particular don't like it. 82% of New Yorkers say that it's a serious problem, and 58% want to stop the influx of new migrants. It would appear that virtue signaling, like so many things in life, is only fun when it's free. But now we have a problem. And it's a problem that anyone with eyes can see, and that's that states are now in conflict with the federal government. And this is nothing new. States and the feds sue each other all the time. There is a never-ending power struggle between them, and whether your default is to the federal government or to the states, or your state, is largely indicative of your overall political philosophy, but that's another story for another day. What interests me, and what has profound theological implications, is the justification that Abbott uses, and which Hochul and Adams in New York are attempting to use, and that is that you behave differently in an emergency than you do in normal times. Or, more specifically, our values and principles change in an emergency. Or, perhaps, our values and principles remain the same, but we prioritize values and principles differently depending on the needs of the day. And here's the thing. In both the Texas and the New York issue, we have either values changing or priorities changing. In Texas, we see that the normal priority to defer to the federal government in issues dealing with the border is not being subordinated to the value or preventing what Texas Governor Abbott calls an invasion. In New York, the value of being loving and welcoming to illegal immigrants is becoming subservient to the basic financial realities of the city and state. In New York City, Mayor Adams predicts that illegal immigrants will cost the city $12 billion. And if you were wondering, yes, $12 billion is a lot of money. According to one source, using 2014 and 2015 city budgets, which are a little bit out of date, the $12 billion New York City will spend on illegal immigrants is more money than any other city's total budget in the entire United States. To put that in perspective, in 2014-15, the New York City budget for illegal immigrants today will cost more than the budget of five states. Or, again, and I'm using 2014-15 data because that's the data I have, the four biggest budget cities in Ohio, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, and Toledo, had a combined budget of $3.3 billion. New York will spend nearly four times that much money just on immigrants. This is an astronomical sum of money, and New Yorkers have had enough. And I'm not certain whether it's their values changing or merely their priorities, but the sheer cost of reality has forced Gothamites to desire a change. And again, this tendency for emergencies to change how we act and how we think and how we behave is extremely relevant to Christianity, because it is certainly true that emergencies change how people think and act and what they believe. And this is not always for the better. There's an old saying that I'm sure you're familiar with, that before you judge a man, walk a mile in his shoes. And there's a lot of wisdom to this adage. What it means is that before you can assess someone's character, you not only need to consider his perspective, but ask yourself how you would behave if you were in his position. However, our broader culture tends to ignore the crucial first part, which is before you judge a man. It's not saying never judge a man. The expression is not to just say that all behavior is okay. It's simply to point out that before you can weigh in on someone, you ought to consider his perspective. And this is the logic we see in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 30 and 31 say, "People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he's starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house." And when we consider this, we see that there is empathy. Of course there is empathy. Absolutely there is empathy. People are able to sympathize and understand the perspective of the hungry man. But that doesn't mean that we condone thievery. Solomon is saying that nobody will look at a starving thief and say, "Ah, what a scumbag." No, people will have basic compassion and comprehension that being very hungry tends to outweigh our morals. But that still doesn't make stealing right. And this principle of understanding perspectives and being willing to change your beliefs when you experience new things has both positive and negative effects. On one hand, I'm sure that any Christian could tell you story after story of men and women who were merrily rolling along through life, living without God and without hope in the world until some emergency came and changed the way they viewed life and the world. People realized that godless living left them cold and unsatisfied, and they sought after God and found him, because he's never far from any of us. And yet we also have scores of Christians saying that they used to be against the homosexual lifestyle and homosexual marriage until they learned that one of their children was a homosexual, and now their whole perspective has changed. And I'm here to tell you that that's not all that different from the person who finds Christ in the gutter. It's the same mechanism. It's the same effect. A crisis event forces people to confront their own beliefs and leads to a paradigm shift, which is a fancy way of saying that everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. And the reality is that all of us do believe wrong things. All of us do, including me. My problem is that I don't know what things I believe are wrong. But life has a way of challenging what we believe. And the truly wise are able to allow the circumstances of life to be the prod whereby the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Or again, to put it more simply, we're able to learn from our mistakes and we're able to change our minds. Now, don't get me wrong. There are things that we should never change our minds about. I am not saying anything goes. I'm not saying it's all up in the air. I'm not saying that we should be radical skeptics. No, we have the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We have the Bible. We have the apostolic faith preserved in the creeds of the church. We have church tradition that helps guide us. We have the revelation of God in his truth, in nature, that is so complete that men are without excuse. We can and should have certainty about a whole lot of very important issues. But a wise man or a wise woman knows the difference between something that is certain and something that is uncertain. But wise people know more than that. Wise people know that life is full of challenges to our moral vision. And if you want a biblical example of this, then Jesus gives us two very obvious examples. When being accused of violating the Sabbath, Jesus points out that priests offer sacrifices on the Sabbath, and that a child is circumcised on the Sabbath, and that animals are rescued on the Sabbath. He points out that people have enough common sense to know when one law supersedes another. Jesus points out that the law of the Sabbath is subordinate to the law of circumcision. He points out that values and ethics have a priority. And Jesus gives us a rule of thumb about this, which is that it is lawful to do good and save life on the Sabbath. Jesus' point is that the Pharisees who wanted to obey God and keep the Sabbath were right to do so because that was God's law. But they were missing the weightier portions of the law. Indeed, and I probably quote this passage too much, but Jesus tells the Pharisees that giving a tithe of their garden herbs is good. Yes, it's exacting. Yes, it's minutiae. Yes, it seems silly to come to the temple with a little handful of dill, but Jesus doesn't despise their desire to obey God. He celebrates it. His point is that they neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is more than just a pun about weighing out herbs and spices. Jesus is saying that some parts of the law were more important than the others. There were some parts of the law that you obeyed even if it meant violating other parts of the law, and this is what I would call changing priorities. Those who have a homosexual child and go from opposing same-sex marriage to celebrating it have a change in values. Those who recognize that sometimes we have to violate a lesser value to hold to a greater value is a change in priority. In normal times, Texas obeys all the waterways acts and gets permitted by the Army Corps of Engineers. In normal times, Texas recognizes subsidiarity. But these aren't normal times. And when the federal government is derelict in its duty, Texas attempts to fulfill what it views as its higher duty. Abbott believes that he has an obligation for Texas to be subsidiary to the federal government, but a higher duty is to the safety of the citizens of his state. Christians, we're not living in normal times, and our values and priorities are being challenged. And look, you don't have to agree with Abbott. You don't have to agree with Texas on anything. Well, I mean, you should probably agree with Texas on some things, but what is important here is you have to recognize that Jesus himself teaches us that we need to prioritize our values and sometimes even change them. And I know that sounds hard, and I know that sounds scary, and I know it sounds like an impossible task, because it is hard, it is scary, and it is impossible. To do this and to do it rightly, to prioritize values and change values that need changing, we need the wisdom of God. We need to pray to God for wisdom. We need to ask him, as James tells us, ask God for wisdom, and he'll give it to us. And then we'll know how to navigate life. Then we'll know how to prioritize values. Then we'll know when to change values. We need wisdom. We need to ask God for it. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next time for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.